business owner who has owned and operated several businesses over the course of over 20 years. And 7 months ago, I decided to run for the Libertarian Party's vice presidential nomination. And on the strength of my ability to bring people to the libertarian message and spread the message of liberty to a public that often hasn't heard our ideas. And to that end, I was chosen by the delegates back in May to be the nominee. And I am now running with Joe Jorgensen on a platform of setting America free and removing the burdens and barriers and impositions and infringements that the government has placed on us that has made our lives harder and has made us less free, including less free in our own homes.
Well, congratulations on winning the party's nomination for vice president. So Restore the Fourth was founded in 2013 in response to the Snowden revelations of mass NSA surveillance. What do you think is an appropriate role for the NSA in conducting surveillance? And do you think that the measures that have been taken so far to increase transparency have been adequate?
No, not even good. The things that have been put in place have been lipstick on a pig to try to quell public attention. There is no real. The NSA is operating as a clandestine organization that, as we know, thanks to Edward Snowden, who, by the way, let me go ahead and get this out of the way. Joe Jorgensen will immediately pardon and full pardon Edward Snowden and will actively seek his help in doing further whistleblowing on what he knows about what's happening behind the scenes to make sure that this is ended and never happens again. So let me get that clear and out of the way. The NSA, if it is even to exist, which is questionable to begin with, should only be searching people after they have gone to a court and determined, a court where all of the information is public and have demonstrated probable cause that there is a reason for them to even be searching anyone, and with a very clear definition of what is being searched, who is being searched, and what for, to the exclusion of literally anything else they even happened upon during that time. And what we have instead is an NSA that is literally searching everything we do. All of our emails, all of our text messages, all of our phone calls, all of probably this call, all of everything, all online communications, including American citizens and foreign nationals as well. Basically, everyone is being watched. The supercomputers that are required to do this much snooping are so powerful, are putting out so much power, that they actually had to divert a river in order to cool to cool the supercomputers and keep them operating correctly and not overheating. They had to actually divert an entire river to be able to cool them because they're just that hot in constantly searching that much computing power to keep track of every single thing that we're doing online or on our phones or anything else. It is a total violation of the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment said not just that we're, the Fourth Amendment ought to know that people know that that means that, people, in theory at least anyway, the police should be able to, to come into your home and search for something unless they have a warrant. And a warrant that they got in court and that they had to actually demonstrate probable cause. If I recall correctly, by their affirmation and actually describing what's being searched and the people and things that are being searched and so forth. But it doesn't just say that. It says person, their houses, their papers and their effects against anything like basically what the NSA does to all of us every single day. So all of our existence online and as we go about in the public and in our day-to-day life and in our own homes is being snooped on by the NSA for absolutely no good reason other than to just collect endless information against people that they no doubt want to then use against them at some later time if they want to. And that totally, it is, not only does it go against the Fourth Amendment, it is exactly what the founders were trying to stop from happening. And it is through an example that they probably couldn't even fathom the idea of such an intrusion on people's lives just because of the technological capabilities. But it was exactly the kind of thing that they were trying to stop with the Fourth Amendment, and yet here we have it.
Yeah. Restore the Fourth is also likely under FBI surveillance. And we've been lobbying Congress to tighten the rules for FBI surveillance on domestic advocacy organizations and activists. Do you think the FBI is too keen to surveil like activists and nonprofit organizations? And if elected, how would you change the guidelines that they operate under to protect activists and advocates?
I mean, the best protections are already written there, the Fourth Amendment. Okay, it almost seems like we need to pass another amendment that just says this again, but says, and this time you need it. I mean, it's right there. If the government wants to search someone, they have to demonstrate in front of a court with information that is public for everyone to see that there's an actual reason to be doing it. And then they have to, and they also have to clearly define what it is they're looking for, who they're searching, who they're searching, with the idea that if anyone else gets caught up in it, all of that's inadmissible. And potentially, depending on how much their stuff is in there, it makes the whole thing inadmissible. What they're searching and why they're searching it. So the FBI's ability to target Restore the Fourth or any other organization or any other individual will necessarily be controlled once Joe Jorgensen is in office and eliminates all of their rules of engagement that allow them to do this, but more importantly, make it so that what they do has to completely comply with the most strict interpretation, the most literal interpretation of the Fourth Amendment. That alone takes care of this. They can't target you unless they have an actual reason to suspect that you committed a crime. And they have to demonstrate that. And it has to be something that people can see and vet for themselves. That is how the system is supposed to work. Not this cloak and dagger, you know, constantly search for things until they find something that they can construe to have committed a crime. That's the opposite of how it's supposed to work. That flips it around. They're supposed to have a reason to think you committed a crime before they violate your person and your property and your effect.
So... in Congress, there's been some legislation introduced recently that would basically force back doors and encryption software. And there's a bill called the EARN IT Act that would condition protection from liability for third-party publishers online, subjecting them to Attorney General any rules that the Attorney General wants to make on weakening encryption and collecting information on users. Do you believe in general that tech firms must collect user information in that way that's accessible to law enforcement? Like,
absolutely not. There's no reason. There's nothing in the Constitution. There's nothing in any of the Federalist Papers explaining beyond the various aspects of the Constitution for us to think for even a second that they expected for the government to require people to incriminate themselves. That's essentially what this is. It is a roundabout violation of the Fifth Amendment. So this is not just about the Fourth Amendment. You're now telling people you need to keep yourself open enough so that you can be held accountable, so that you can be held liable for something. That's the exact opposite, again, of what government intended. The first money that was printed by the United States government said, mind your business on it. That was the purpose. This government was supposed to stay out of the people's business unless they had an active reason to think that they were committing a crime. And even then, there was no guarantee there that they would be able to even access it in the first place. That was just the first step for them to be able to request access for it. So no, there's no reason that the REACT, it goes beyond what you're even saying. Not only that, but it actually discourages the creation of encryption to begin with, because they could be held liable if their encryption is used to protect criminals. It was for the criminals to protect themselves. So it actually discourages companies from creating any form of encryption. It is a terrible, terrible piece of legislation. Joe Jorgensen would veto it, and if it had already been passed, she would nullify any regulation that came from it and issue guidance that it would not be enforced. The Fourth Amendment is prime law. All of these things violate the Fourth Amendment. There are arguably the Fifth Amendment as well, and many others. And there's absolutely no reason to allow this to continue.
You already mentioned that Joe Jorgensen would pardon Edward Snowden. There's a few other people I was curious you and Joe Jorgensen had would consider pardoning Julian Assange.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Are you familiar with Ross Ulbricht?
I absolutely know Raj Ulbricht. I am good friends with his mother, Lynn, and Joe and I actually wrote and signed a letter that we sent to President Donald Trump calling for him to be set free and promising that when we are elected, we will issue him a full pardon.
And regarding the coronavirus pandemic, do you think police should arrest and jail people who violate lockdown restrictions?
No, absolutely not. I think that if you, especially when you look at the purpose supposedly behind these, you know, these laws, which are obviously violations of our constitutional rights, but if you look at their purpose behind, you know, the lockdown restriction, it's to keep us safe. And yet then they tell us that, you know, if we don't obey it, then they'll put us in jail. And they keep releasing information that the jails are the most likely place for you to get coronavirus, to get the COVID-19 virus. And that's not accidental. That's intentional. They're sending you a very clear message. Do what we say or we will infect you. And it is a total blatant violation of any aspect of the idea of government being used as a tool to affirm and protect and defend the rights and lives and properties of the American people. And it's the exact opposite. It is the government saying, do what we say or we will make sure the worst harm comes upon you. And for no other reason than to protect our own power and influence. So, no, absolutely not. Especially when you consider the fact that, and I know this is a little off subject, but the only reason the coronavirus is even here in the first place, to the extent that it is because the CDC actively banned medical professionals from testing or treating people who had COVID for the first 6 to 8 weeks that it was here, which is why it is so widespread here, because the federal government actually stopped medical professionals and ordered them not to test people and not to treat people who had COVID-19.
And do you think, what's your opinion on governments working together with corporations on contract tracing apps, like with the Apple,
yep,
Google thing? What, do you support that?
I don't, even though I'm not, and I don't, I would defer to Joe on whether to support contact tracing apps at all, and I'll defer to him on that. I can give you my personal opinion, which is that the tracing apps in and of themselves are not bad if they're being used in the medical professional field. My concern is that if government gets involved and they've helped create an app that traces every single thing that we do, that's just their foot in the door of them doing even further tracing of everything we're doing, and desensitizing the people to the idea of the government knowing where we are, what we're doing, and who we've been close to at any given time. And given government track record of what they do with data and information that they have, I think it is an incredibly slippery slope, and that the potential for harm outweighs the potential for good. If private companies want to work with medical professionals for contact tracing, that, you know, totally, that, you know, that, that protects everything else, protects the privacy of individuals and allows them to voluntarily opt in. And I mean, there'd have to be a lot of things even then that would make it okay. But if people all want to, if there are people who want to voluntarily participate in a voluntary contact tracing app that is not part of government, I don't necessarily see a problem with that. I don't think I'd be one of the people to sign up for it. But I think that if people choose to do that, that's one thing. But having the government impose something like that on everyone, especially given their history of what they do with data, what they do with information, and the fact that ultimately you could argue that it is sort of a violation of the Fourth Amendment as well, because now they're actively searching everything everyone's doing, even though they didn't even try to pretend they committed a crime. I'm certainly against government involvement in it.
And do you have an opinion on the federal government's use of civil asset forfeiture, where they can take people's property without
without even trying them, and then if they are found not guilty or their charges are dropped, they then have to sue in court for their own stuff back, even though it was just determined that it never should have been taken from them in the first place. And civil asset forfeiture is a federal program that is managed from the top. It is trickled down to the state. And it will end immediately. Joe Jorgensen will end the civil asset forfeiture. That will be a thing of the past. And government, again, this kind of lines up with Fourth Amendment. Not only are they searching people, they're stealing their stuff, and they're often not even having a good reason to do so. and they aren't even waiting for them to be convicted or tried. They just take it from them ahead of time, and then they use the proceeds from the sales of those assets to pay for the person prosecution and rob them of the ability to pay for their own defense. It is such a blatant, not just a violation, but a total opposite of how the system was intended. And it is such a cynical power grab, and it is so disproportionately used against the most marginalized among us, the poor and people of color and gender and sexual minorities and immigrants and so forth. What a terrible, terrible program. And it will absolutely go away under your Dorgan administration.
So the Department of Homeland Security, they've been found to be conducting surveillance on advocates for immigrants' rights, and ICE has been using cell phone metadata to track immigrants for deportation. What do you think about these actions by the government?
All those two agencies that would cease to exist under a Jorgensen administration, so that would become a point.
Great. I think I only have a couple more questions here. So police often acquire new surveillance technologies without informing, much less obtaining the consent of local elected officials. What measures would you support, what would the Jorgensen-Cohen administration support to resolve those issues?
Absolutely. So, first of all, we talked about civil asset forfeiture. That ends. The war on drugs. That ends. The no-knock warrants. That ends. All the things that allow to get into immediate confrontations with people without any kind of de-escalation measure, like people busting down someone's door without them even knowing that you're about to walk in, which leads to, you know, like the killing and the murder of Breonna Taylor and the killing of Duncan Levin and others. So that all would end. One of the biggest things, and we are thankful for Libertarian Congressman Justin Amash being the champion for this, in the very first tripartisan legislation in Congress, is the idea of ending qualified immunity. Qualified immunity is a ridiculous legal doctrine that was put in place in the 1950s and 60s in order to protect government from liability for abusing the rights of civil rights protesters and later Vietnam War protesters, and has been made more and more ridiculous over the years. The long and short of it is that it protects politicians, police officers, government officials, anyone working for government from any kind of liability for the actions that they take that harm or infringe upon the rights of the American people, as long as they personally decide that what they did was reasonable. Imagine if you could go in to trial, you could walk into court and say, Your Honor, I know I've been charged with murder, but I think what I did was perfectly reasonable. And the judge goes, oh, so if you thought it was reasonable, then I'll drop the charge. That's qualified immunity. And here's what it leads to. Derek Chauvin, the man who murdered George Floyd in front of a crowd and choked him slowly while people begged him to stop. This sadistic murderer. He had 17 other complaints against him already as a police officer, including complaints from his fellow officers, including wrongful death complaints. He had already potentially murdered other people. At the Minneapolis Police Department, when they look at him with the police departments around the country look at the abusive officers, the bad apples in their bunches, in their various police departments. They look at Derek Chauvin and they go, this guy is terrible. He is abusing people left and right. He's got to go. But it's going to cost an absolute fortune for us to fight police unions to get rid of him. And it's not costing us anything else. Well, of course, because of qualified immunity, we're all being held immune from any damages for his actions. So we'll just keep him on the force, and eventually he'll go too far, and then we can arrest him, and then he'll finally be able to get kicked off the force. George Floyd would be alive today if qualified immunity did not exist. Countless other people would be alive today, and countless other immeasurable harm would have never been done if qualified immunity was put in place. And now, the police department and the police union would be actively incentivized to remove bad police officers and reward good police officers, if for no other reason than to protect themselves and their departments and unions against liability and against lawsuits. So that would be a major way of ending the harm that's being done, along with all the other things that we've talked about. But that will go a tremendous way in healing the rift between the police and the public, ending the harm that is being done by abusive government officials and politicians and police officers against the American people. And which is, again, disproportionately used against the most marginalized among us. That will all end under a
I'm glad you brought up qualified immunity. That was actually the next thing I was going to ask you about. To wrap up, is there any other comments or you have about Fourth Amendment issues that you'd like to tell us?
No, that's, I mean, in terms of this kind of realm of things, the Fourth Amendment and criminal justice, this is pretty much it. And it's a microcosm of what the Jorgensen-Cohen campaign and the Jorgensen administration will do once they're in office. Imagine a world where the wars have ended, the troops are home, the healing has begun. Imagine a world in which all the things you talked about have happened and the people are more secure in their prisons and their papers in effect. Imagine a world in which the rift between the police and the public, especially the most marginalized among us, has healed. And when people see a police officer, they know that they're there for one reason only, to protect their lives and rights and properties. Imagine a world in which government is out of your educational decisions, so that you and the teachers of your children can make better choices without, you know, an endless and growing number of bureaucrats and politicians in the way, making it more difficult. Imagine having government out of healthcare, making it more affordable, so that they're no longer protecting billionaire cronies to make endless profits on your back because of the regulations and bureaucracy and red tape and taxes and patent protections that people in place that benefit themselves at the expense of you and your ability to get affordable and accessible healthcare. Imagine a world in which you are freer and safer and happier, and in which the future for your children is brighter than anything that the Republicans and Democrats could have even pretended that they were going to give you. That is what Joe Jorgensen and I fight for every day. And if you like what you've heard, I invite you to join us at JOJ2020, that's JOJ2020.com, and I your vote and your support this November. All of these things are exactly what we will do, and I thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.